Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, September 15th. This is the Business Radio X.
You know, you look like you were really enjoying that music, so...
So you're going to keep it going for me? Thank you so much. I do love it.
Well, it runs out eventually, so that's right now.
Oh, okay, then. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and of course, with me today, playing all that lovely music, producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir?
Good, and I can play it anytime I want.
That's right. There's no one here to stop us.
No.
We got the run of the building. You can call us if you want to here at the station. The number here is 404-231-1190. You can also tweet at me if you want to at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. As always, we've got some great clips lined up this week from the Business Radio X studios, along with some very weird and interesting stories in the Atlanta business headlines this week that I want to get to quickly. But before we do that, a couple of quick housekeeping items. First of all, I want to give you, for those of you who have been listening to the show for the last couple of weeks, I need to round out the car buying story, the drama, the intrigue, the amazingness that was my car buying story with just a last little update, which is, you know, this was my first time buying a used car, and it had a few little marks and dings and whatever on it, as used cars might, you know, a little ding in the hood and a little scratch on the back fender and whatever. And so my lovely sales guy, Anoop, gave me a kind of a we owe you to get those little things fixed. And so after I bought the car, you know, I've had it for about a week. I called him. I'm like, all right, let's get this scheduled. And I have to say, he once again showed up as a great sales guy. Anoop came out to my house, picked up the car. Yeah. Drove it back, had it fixed up, and then brought it back to me that day. Come on. That's some good service. So even though part of my car buying, shall we call it a fiasco, was stressful and you know, got me angrier than I have been in many, many years. Ultimately, Anoop was a great sales guy over there at Nally BMW of Decatur. And again, did not buy a BMW for anybody who has not been paying attention for the last 3 weeks. All right, that housekeeping item out of the way, I want to talk to you about a product I just discovered. Now, this says something probably about my friends and the kind of dinner parties I go to, but I was at a get-together last night, and we got talking about this new product called Fresh Tapes, which is basically like a reusable sort of piece of decorative, cool-looking tape that you can put on your chip bags or your frozen vegetable bags or whatever to keep it sealed instead of using those bag clips. And so apparently my friends and I are all really boring. But anyway, this is what we were talking about, and these tapes are... a new product, and they are getting them into stores right now. You can buy them online at getfreshtapes.com, and I think you can buy them in the Chandlery up in Roswell and a couple other places. But they're cool because they're reusable, which is great. So it's not like using a piece of scotch tape that dies after a couple times. And also, they are recyclable, and they are they have what is it, like antibacterial, I guess is the best way to say it. So I think those chip clips, if you use them over and over again, they start to get kind of nasty. And these don't. So anyway, pretty cool if you're looking for a good way to... Also, they make your pantry look cute. So if you're into having a cute pantry, you might want to check them out. So again, they're called Fresh Tapes, and they come in a package of about, I think about 20, but I could be wrong about that. Maybe it's 10. And they're, you get them online at getfreshtapes.com. Anyway, you can tell them you heard about it here on Biz 1190 from Dana Barrett. Was that a shameless self-plug? Does that count for today's first shameless self-plug?
Well, I don't know. You plugged yourself, but you also
plugged somebody else.
Somebody else.
So it's all right.
So it's okay.
So it's okay. Okay, well, I have to tell you that the news stories I pulled this week, one after the next, I was like, he did what? Or really? They did that? There's the most bizarre news stories that I want to get to because some of them are just absolutely crazy. But before we do that, I think I want to get into today's clip first because it's an interesting one. It's from the Results Matter show this past week, which aired on Tuesday. Host of that show, Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. The guest was a guy named Kirk Hancock, who is the CFO of the North Highland consulting firm. And the interesting thing about North Highland is they are a completely employee-owned operation. So it's really a different way of running a business, a consulting firm. He talks about during the interview the fact that a lot of consulting firms are partnerships, but this is really different. They're employee owned. Now, this clip is not really about that. This is sort of about people fitting into their culture, but I thought it was worth listening to. So go ahead and take a listen to this.
Now, how do you hire for this right fit in the culture?
That's a big deal. We're always looking for smart and experienced consultants.
But they can't just be smart. They got to, you know, they could be the smartest people in the world, but if they can't fit in this culture or they're, you know, they don't behave right, that's not going to be the right fit, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's probably the cultural fit is probably the most intensive part of it, because there are lots of very smart and capable people out there. And they will thrive in consulting, but they may not thrive in our environment. So I think the average person that we interview probably has interviewed, this is almost embarrassing to say sometimes, 10, 11, 12, 13 people that they've talked to or chatted
with. So 13 people within the organization?
Yeah, there's very few, yes. And most of our actual hires are referral-based. We average anywhere from 50 to 75%. Of our hires every year are through our own internal network, and that ensures a lot.
So one of your consultants knows somebody or had met them in a previous life and said, oh, Bill would be a great guy.
This is someone I liked working with. Right. They will fit in.
So you've already kind of vetted them through this person. And so when they come in, at least you're pretty close culturally. That's just might have to
That really does limit the number of outliers that you have.
All right, so kind of interesting. Again, that was the Results Matter radio show. You can hear the whole interview and hear more about what North Highland is doing in terms of being employee-owned, which I think is pretty interesting. And you can hear that, of course, at resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com. But the other thing I thought was kind of funny about it was, and maybe this will be a good segue into my weird stories, but he talks about the fact that he says he's almost embarrassed that they, you know, you have to maybe go through 12 or 13 different interviews before you get a job there. Let me just say that I'm sure it's a great place to work because of that, before I make fun of him, and just say that if I had to go through like 11 interviews and then I didn't get the job, like the 11th person was like, no, she can't go on to number 12 and 13. We don't like her. I would be so annoyed. But, you know, whatever works. And I think, you know, we've talked about it many times on the shows with all these business books I've been reading and everything. You know, having the right people on the bus, having the right people in the company is hugely important to getting the job done. If you are sitting next to people that you don't respect, or that don't respect you, or don't, you know, aren't in line with the company's mission, that can cause a lot of problems in terms of getting a product out. All right, it's a terrible segue, but I'm just going to use it. Let's talk about some of these weird news stories before we go to break today. I don't even know where to start because they're all so weird. So I'm going to start with this one first, because any story involving the Claremont is worth bringing up, in my opinion, just because it's funny. And I probably should warn Mike Roy in general for today's show to have his finger on the beeping button. I won't. I'll behave. But, you know, these stories are just so bizarre.
You're just throwing it out there.
I'm just throwing it out there just in case I get excited and something slips out. I don't know. But all right. So here's the story. Mumford & Sons, the music group, they're like four guys, I guess. They were kicked out of the Claremont Lounge. And they were kicked out for taking pictures, which is kind of funny. I mean, you know, the Claremont Lounge is well known in Atlanta for its strippers who are, shall we say, maybe not the youngest. And they also happen to be having karaoke that night. So first of all, the story, I don't go to the Claremont Lounge. Let's just put that out there. I've never been. So I can't really imagine doing karaoke in the midst of odd strippers, but okay, whatever. Apparently it's a thing. And so there go Mumford & Sons. And apparently they were only trying to take pictures of the karaoke, not the strippers. Nonetheless, they were asked several times to put their cameras away and got a little nasty, as celebrities sometimes tend to do, and were asked to leave. Now, the Claremont Lounge says, hey, you know, we love these guys. If they want to come back without their cameras, they are more than welcome. And they also made a note, what goes on in the Claremont stays in the Claremont. So feel free to go down there because no one will be allowed to take your picture. All right, moving on from one weird story to the next. Georgia, our lovely state, is seeking to ban more, and this is a story where I could get in trouble in terms of what I'm saying, so just be warned. Georgia is seeking to ban more vanity license plates. So in other words, there are, believe it or not, already a list of 10,200 entries that are not allowed. So if you want to have a license plate that says something I'm just going to have to sum it up by saying racy or inappropriate or whatever. The state of Georgia says, yeah, no. And they, but they're very arbitrary is why the story is so weird. I'm going to encourage everybody to go to the Atlanta Business Chronicle online and read the story, because it'll be fodder for some great dinner conversation or some great water cooler conversation on Monday morning. The choices, the things that they let go through and the things that they refuse are bizarre. And I can't say them on the air because some of them sort of sound like a bad word. If I spelled it out for you, we could maybe get away with it, but then we'd be here for 4 hours, so I'm not going to do it. But suffice to say, it's bizarre, and it makes me wonder, A, what our legislators are really spending time on. B, why would you even bother having a vanity license plate? This is something I've never really understood. If you want to, you know, state your case about something on the back of your car, wouldn't it be easier just to get a bumper sticker? And yeah. Cheaper, maybe? And
definitely cheaper.
Yeah, cheaper, easier, and you could peel it off if you change your mind. And then the state of Georgia can't, like, limit what you can say. So it seems like all around, just forget it. Just get a bumper sticker. That's just me. But also, I still question the whole free speech angle of this. So Georgia, I guess if it's on a Georgia piece of property, they can tell you no. But it seems to me like, don't we have the right of free speech? Shouldn't I be able to put whatever I want on my vanity license plate? I don't know. Odd story. I thought it was interesting. Think twice before you send in your request for a weird vanity license plate, because you might not get it. All right. On that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more weird news stories right after this.
Business Radio. That's right on the money. This is Biz 1190.
This is the Great American Work From Home revolution that's changing the lives of great Americans, like you. It's IncomeRevolution.com. And listen, this is a fantastic way to earn from a few hundred to several thousand a month from your kitchen table, even while you sleep. What are listeners saying about IncomeRevolution.com? After only 9 weeks, Jeff Rush made more than $4,500 from home in his spare time. No pressure, no selling soap. Anyone can do this. Or listener Kevin. With Income Revolution, Kevin made enough to cover his mortgage and even quit his day job. And finally, listener Kirsten, a busy dad who earned nearly $3,500 his first month. Would an extra few thousand change your life? No pressure, just an opportunity for great Americans like you to earn great money from home. Plus, they're giving one listener $1,000 just for checking them out. Visit IncomeRevolution.com. 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 Results not average. See website for results you can expect.
Starting September 30th, DTI Market Buzz with Tom Busby on Biz 1190. Tom gives market insights on how to understand seasonal stock patterns and taking advantage to make them pay you.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Starting September 30th on Biz 1190.
Hi, this is the Wizard. Join me and the Fox every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. The show's about the stock market. We are in a great bull market. It will last another 3 or 4 years. So let us teach you how to make money and be a winner on Wall Street. Whether you're a trader or an investor, we can teach you how to win. So join us Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WAFS Biz 1190. Be a winner.
Looking for an air show in Atlanta? Paulding County is doing it again. Don't miss out. You can expect 2 great days full of excitement, including fighter jet demos, jet cars, child-friendly venues, and fireworks. Get all the details at paldingairshow.net.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Williams, and I'll have your full forecast right here on Biz 1190. We're always right on the money.
All right, we are back with our jazzy music and our jazzy selves here on the Week in Review. Dana Barrett and Mike Roy hanging out here on a Sunday. All right, having a good time with the weird news stories. All right, I'm going to continue down this road of weird news stories before we go to the next Business Radio X clip, because I kept finding one strange thing after the next, and I kept saying, okay, I'm bringing this in because it's that weird. Here, listen to this. So this random dude, and I'm only bringing this story up because it relates to Home Depot, which is an Atlanta company, but this random dude is trying to put together a class action lawsuit against Home Depot, get this, because he claims that the home improvement retailer is, quote, shaking down customers for arbitrary and unjust damages for shoplifting charges and using false threats of criminal prosecution. So basically, this guy is a criminal, and he's trying to put, he's a shoplifter, and he's trying to put together a class action suit against his victim, Home Depot, the company he stole from, because he got caught and he doesn't like the punishment. Really? Dude, really? And first of all, like, I can't even say it on the air. This is where I'm telling you, I'm so fired up because I just, I don't know how to say this without cursing. All right, I'm going to behave. Like, the courage of this guy, now you know what I was really going to say, to go forward into the public with this lawsuit is crazy. You are a criminal. And then, doesn't that make you think, like, is this not what's wrong with our justice system in the first place, that people can bring stupid lawsuits like this? Anyway, apparently there's enough merit that it's gotten as far as it's gotten. I doubt it'll get much further, but it did make the headlines and I thought it was interesting. So, you know, if you decide to shoplift something from the Home Depot, and I'm not suggesting that you do that, but should you decide to shoplift something, you then might be able to get involved in a class action suit. Just saying. Just a thought. If you're looking for a new way to make money, it's an option. Something to consider. And speaking of crazy ways to make money, moving to the next story, check out this one. Ex-DeKalb Superior Court candidate found guilty in fraud case. Now, this guy, named Michael Rothenberg, was a candidate for a seat on the DeKalb County Superior Court. So, a judge-ish kind of person. He pled guilty on Wednesday to defrauding the owners of Winterhawk Energy and Development Corp. Basically, what this guy was doing was just like a Ponzi scheme, you know, like what's the guy's name? My brain is not working. Anyway, the bottom line is he was just taking people's money, saying he was investing it, and he was using it to fund his campaign for judge. The fact that it's for a judge. I mean, the fact that it's for a political office isn't totally shocking, but it's for a judge. And he was just completely openly out and out cheating, lying, and defrauding people for millions of dollars. I'm not talking a couple hundred bucks. I'm talking millions of dollars. And the thing that intrigues me about stories like this is, did you really think you weren't going to get caught? Oh, Bernie Madoff. That's what I was trying to come up with before. It was like a Bernie Madoff style Ponzi scheme, you know? Why do people think who are these people that think they can just get away with that kind of stuff? Like, I'm technically, if I get to the middle of a street and I want to cross it, like, and jaywalk, I'm afraid I'm going to get caught. You know, every single time I drive my car through Alabama, I'm quite sure I'm going to get a speeding ticket. So I drive like a little old lady every time I'm in Alabama. But these guys are out stealing millions of dollars in sort of such a weirdly obvious way. How is it that they, how, why, what, who, okay. All right, I'm moving on because I'm just beside myself. All right, everyone knows how much I like lists. Today's list is no exception. Atlanta, number 7 on the eligible bachelor millionaire list. So the cities that have the most millionaires who are also eligible bachelors, we come in at number 7. It's no surprise New York comes in at number 1, Los Angeles number 2, then Chicago, Houston, Dallas, San Francisco, then us. Lastly, Miami, Las Vegas, and Austin. Now, I will say the difference between, let's say, New York in terms of eligible millionaires and Atlanta is significant. At number 1, New York has 4,101 eligible millionaires, and Atlanta has 687. So it's much different. However, the thing that's funny to me about this is this comes from a dating website called SeekingMillionaire.com. Now, I have so many problems with this website idea. And I know it's not the only one. There are multiple websites out there where primarily, I believe, women can go on, and they generally are, I think the requirement for the women is generally that they're beautiful, and nothing else really matters. And they are looking for these millionaire men. Now, if you're a millionaire guy, what's your incentive for going clearly to a group of gold diggers to date? What is your motive? Are you just, you don't care? You don't care that they're gold diggers and that's the only thing they like about you and you're okay with having arm candy at whatever price? I don't understand it. Bizarre. But that's just me. Would you ever do it? Would you ever do that? If you were a millionaire, Mike Roy, would you date a gold digger knowingly?
Well, I'm stuck on the if I was a millionaire part, so.
You're fantasizing about that right now?
But no. I don't.
You're like seeing dollar signs in your eyes?
In my mind, anyway. I don't think I would do that either.
Yeah. I mean, like, not that you might not inadvertently end up with a gold digger, no matter where you met them, if you're somebody who's wealthy, but would you actively go out and go to that pool of people and say, I want you, I choose you, Miss Gold Digger? Very strange to me. Very, very strange. All right, let's move on from the weird stuff to some much more sensible stuff. Last week, we had a clip from Gwinnett Business Radio, and we've got another one today. The Gwinnett Business Radio show airs on businessradiox.com, and it's hosted by Mike Salmond and Stephen Julian. And my apologies, because last week I called him Steve. It's Stephen. Anyway, this week they had on the Gwinnett Chamber's new president and CEO, Dr. Daniel Kaufman, and he talked a little bit about sort of what's going on in Gwinnett County, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So let's go ahead and take a listen to that clip if Mike Roy is ready. And here we go. No? Yes?
The chamber is a forum in the traditional sense of that term. That is where people come to deliberate, to talk, and to craft a vision for the way ahead. And you know, now that I'm sitting in the front, I actually have to pay attention. But what really impressed me was the extent to which all the leaders of all the parts of Gwinnett, it wasn't just the business leaders there, leaders in government, leaders in education, leaders in healthcare, arts, entertainment, culture, and the philanthropic and public service communities were all in the room. And that's what struck me about the potential that the chamber really has. And so as we move forward, I want all those parts of the community engaged in this creation of the common vision, because they're all important in terms of where we're going as a community in the future. And so that really was the excitement about and the attraction of the job, and that's what we're going to try to do as we move forward. We've got an extraordinary community. I mean, Gwinnett is a big, complex, diverse, vibrant community, place, county, and is a leader in so many ways that we want to continue to take advantage of. But also we've got some opportunities really to ensure that all the parts of modern Gwinnett County are engaged and have the opportunity for success. And that's what I think the chamber can do in bringing all those people together who haven't necessarily been as integrated, frankly, as we might like in the past. And as you look at the future of Gwinnett County, as you know, we're 20 years ago we were 90% white. Today there's no majority race in Gwinnett County. And so we're going to make that diversity a source of our strength and demonstrate how to do it right. And so that's what we're about at the Gwinnett Chamber, to ensure that modern Gwinnett County really is the model for America of the future.
All right. Again, that was from the Gwinnett Business Radio show on Business Radio X. You can hear the rest of that interview at gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And the reason I wanted to air that particular clip is just because I haven't really paid that much attention to Gwinnett County myself in quite some time. So to hear about some of the changes there in terms of the population and, you know, sort of the diversity of the area, I thought was really interesting. So if you're looking to expand business, around the metro Atlanta area, I think looking at Gwinnett County is probably a pretty interesting thing to do at this point. And the other reason I thought it was noteworthy was just because, you know, there are chambers all over the place. And I think I'm not really a joiner. I tend to be kind of a poo-pooer of groups because I don't like group politics and whatever. But I think if you can overcome that emotion and get yourself to these groups, they really can be super beneficial to promote your business, whether you're a solopreneur or whether you have a big company. So anyway, I think worth checking out your local chamber if you're not in Gwinnett. And that is why I wanted to air that clip for you. So we're going to move on to a break right now. And when we come back, I've got some more stories for you and some more clips. So we'll see you after the break.
Meteorologist Aaron Williams. Get your complete forecast right here on Biz 1190, where we're always right on the money.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
What's the reality behind the so-called phony scandals? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. What's phony are President Obama's promises to find the truth. And the latest issue of Town Hall magazine gets to the bottom of those empty promises. There's also an examination of the persecution of Christians in America and a fresh look at the cost of counterterrorism post-9/11. Town Hall magazine offers fresh, intelligent insights you can't get anywhere else. And there's a special gift for you when you log on and subscribe at townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived on the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with. We were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Georgia National Guard. Aired by the Georgia Association of Broadcasters in this station.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was young and naive, and I found myself with $11,000 of credit card debt, 9 credit cards, and nothing to show for it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
And I ended up calling, and the lady on the phone was so nice. And it was really humbling because no one really knows what your financial situation is like. You have to open those doors.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They give me the right perspective. And they got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
Biz 1190. Weather.
If you have any outdoor plans this afternoon, the weather is looking fantastic. A lot of sunshine, just a few clouds around, high 82. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low 68. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds during the day tomorrow, high up to 86. And some sunshine, maybe a thunderstorm on Tuesday. Most of the day will turn out rain-free with a high of 83. Partly sunny on Wednesday and Thursday. High Wednesday around 80. Thursday's high reaching 84 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. Mike Roy pushing the buttons and waving and doing all kinds of crazy things over there in that seat. I have no control over him. I don't know what he does. Yeah, he's a troublemaker, that one. All right, so before we get to the next clip, which is going to kind of shift our gears a little bit today, I had one last news story I wanted to bring up, and this is not an Atlanta news story. This is a national story, and it's not a big story, but I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, it's business related, it's technology, and who doesn't love a new toy? So if, in case you missed it last week, Apple came out with their announcement of their new iPhone models, and they announced two different things. The iPhone 5C, which is a cheaper kind of plastic version of the current iPhone 5. I don't think it has a lot of, I don't think it has all the same upgrades of the other one that they introduced, which is the iPhone 5S. So the 5S, and I didn't pay attention to all the details, but the 5S is the big dog, right? So I have a 5 actually, but, and I have no desire to get the 5S. Like, this does not tempt me, but maybe it tempts somebody who has like a 4 or a 4S to go ahead and get the newest, latest, greatest, whatever. So, you know, I think the 5S is sort of got some upgrades from 5. So I think it's got like a better camera and a better display and this and that. It's faster, I guess. It's got a 64-bit chip that's supposedly 40 times faster. It says than the original iPhone, so I don't know what that means. Does that mean the iPhone 5, or does that mean like the oldest one back in the day? Number one, I don't know. Anyway, the 5C is just the plastic colorful one, and I had a couple of questions about this. This is why I wanted to bring it up. You get the iPhone in whatever color. Like, I happen to have a white iPhone 5, and then you immediately put a case on it, and you see a tiny, tiny little bit of screen real estate of the color of the actual phone. So what is the point of having the phone be a color? I'm confused. I mean, maybe it's like an accent color. It's like wearing a necklace as opposed to your whole outfit being a color. I don't really get that, except for that it feels to me just like a mark, and they're cheaper. The 5Cs are plastic, and they are, you know, unapologetically plastic. They're right out front with that's what it is. And they're much less expensive. So I just see it as a ploy to get kids begging their parents for a new, I want the pink iPhone, mommy. I want the blue iPhone, daddy. So, I mean, I feel like that's really all that is a ploy for young people, little ones, to start begging for their favorite color new iPhone. And even the 5S, the fancy one, comes now apparently in silver, gold, and gray. So in other words, the 5 came in black and white. So now if you get the 5S, everyone will know because it will be silver or gold. And that will be the accent color that will be peeking out from your cell phone case.
Get the gold. That's the most noticeable, I would think.
Go for the gold. Yeah, I think so too. No, I agree. I feel like the gold would definitely stand out.
Especially since silver and gray are probably kind of sort of close.
Similar to, yeah, they are actually. They do look sort of close. And like, who was that runner back in the day, the Olympic runner that wore the gold running shoes? Can't think of his name. But I mean, those gold running shoes, I remember those. So maybe if you get the gold phone, you'll be like that guy.
But then again, we remember the shoes and not the actual guy.
I know, but that could be me. That could just be me. You know, that could be like my age thing, or I don't know, or maybe just because I'm not that into sports. And somebody can feel free to call in and tell us who that was, because I can't think of it. Anyway, the number, if you want to call in and tell us who that was, is 404-231-1190. You know, feel free to call in anytime. We can listen to your problems. We can, you know, just shoot the breeze with you, whatever. We're happy to do whatever. Sunday.
We're here to help.
We are here to
help.
Her
more than me, but but well, I'll try.
We are. We're here to help. We're here to, you know, to be there for you. All right. I do have another clip I want to play for you this segment. And this one is from a show that we have not yet heard from here on Week in Review. So I'm pleased to introduce to you the Ujiria radio show, which airs on Business Radio X during the week on Tuesdays. The host of this show, Brad Culprit and Sam Grass, and the show is focused on elder care, which is a huge issue for Americans as we age as a population. And so they talk about different things relating to elder care every week. And so this week they had on Susie Brown, who was the executive director of the Neuroscience Foundation. And she's talking about the cost of drugs. And she's talking about what it costs to produce a new drug. And I thought this was interesting because we all like to sit around and complain. And I'm right up there with all of you sitting there complaining about the cost of prescription drugs. And she sort of goes back and gives us a primer on why they cost what they cost. So go ahead and take a listen to this.
Someone thinks of, you know, a chemist, a doctor thinks of this chemical compound that will make a difference in a disease. So he's probably going to do 1 to 2 years of research chemically before it ever gets to actually producing a drug. Mm-hmm. Then you're probably going to go through 3 to 5 years for testing with animals.
Mm-hmm. So you're at about a 7-year mark now.
Right. And then the first phase is where you test normally or people who have very limited health issues. That's another 1 to 3 years. Then you have phase 2 and phase 3, which are another 3 to 5 years.
So you're at, I mean, I did the rough math, you're at 14 to 15 years.
Correct.
Okay. What's the cost, what was the number you said for the cost of that?
About $1 billion.
Okay. You're going to understand. Do you know what the patent lifespan of a patent is?
No, I don't.
17 years.
17 years.
Now, stop and think about this. They have a brand new WizKid drug, and if they're going to protect it, they need to patent it from day one. So let's say that after the chemist gets done, they patent it. They're looking at about 12, 13 years to get it to market. They've got somewhere between 4 to 5 years to recoup the $1 billion cost. People don't understand that. They complain about
farms. Can they not renew a patent once?
Typically not. Not in this case. It's for 17 years, and then the generic industry has a right to take it over. And so...
All right. Again, that was the Ujiria radio show. I think that might have been my fault that that clip ended weirdly. Like,
did he not know how to finish that?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, that was the Ujiria radio show. A really interesting show. And I encourage you to listen to that whole interview. You can do that at ujiria.businessradiox.com. And again, the reason I aired it is because I really never thought about all of that. I never thought about the patent and whatever. But he was sort of saying that, and it sounded to me like he was making excuses for the cost of the drugs being what they are, which in some cases is outrageous. You know, there are some drugs that are, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month. And if they're the kind of drugs that you need to take every month and you're somebody that's on a fixed income or low income, you know, you can't afford $200 or $300 a month on drugs. And then, you know, you get into what insurance covers, and then we're back into Obamacare and all this kind of crazy stuff in terms of a discussion. But one of the things that it brings to mind for me, and I'm sure all of you feel, why do I think everyone thinks the same thing I do? I don't know why. I somehow feel like everyone will just agree with me. But when I watch TV and I see the drug commercials, I'm so taken aback by the commercials that the pharmaceutical companies play. I mean, first of all, if you listen to the commercial, you would never, ever, ever, ever want to take any of those drugs, because all of the side effects they list are so god-awful that whatever problem you had before probably wasn't as bad as all those ridiculous side effects that they mention, which they have to, I guess, legally, or believe me, they wouldn't do it. But that's the first question. The second question is, if they have, according as the clip said, you know, 4 to 5 years to recoup $1 billion in R&D, how do they have millions upon millions of dollars to advertise the drug on television? So I think I understand what he's saying, because after 4 to 5 years, when the patent runs out, and also I don't know that they apply for the patent on day one. I heard him, but I'm sure they push that as far back as they can, and they try to keep their R&D as secret as they can before, you know, and then get the patent so that it can last as long as it can last. But anyway, once they get the patent and the patent runs out, then the generics can come in, and then they have competition. And so then maybe they can't charge quite as much. But there are lots of people that still want the brand name drug. So it's not like their market completely goes away after the patent runs out and they stop making money and that chance to recoup their $1 billion is gone. No, because plenty of people still want that name brand drug. So they really have a lot longer than that to recoup their billion. Just saying. And, you know, it brings up a whole other story. I was having a conversation just yesterday with a friend of mine, Audrey, and she mentioned that she's had some experiences with generic drugs that were not the same. They say the generic is supposed to be exactly the same as the brand name drug, but she has had several experiences in which she tried the generic and it gave her a side effect or made her sick in a way that the original drug did not. And so then she did some internet research, and apparently a lot of people are complaining about this. So I think buyer beware a little bit on the generic drug. I mean, maybe try it for yourself, but I would really like to see, maybe there has been some investigation done. You know, we need to stick one of those TV stations that has a big budget on it and find out what's really going on, because, you know, if that's the case, that's really bad. I mean, if you're taking a generic thinking you're getting the same drug and you're not, that's not okay. You know, if they're using cheaper materials to produce that drug, not okay. So something to think about. You know, the whole healthcare industry, obviously, under great upheaval. And I do have a personal story I want to tell you about that, because my insurance was up for renewal. And so I had a conversation with my health insurance agent, because I'm self-employed and I have to pay for my own insurance. So I had an interesting conversation with my health insurance guy this week that I want to share. And so we'll do that. But first, we're going to take a quick break. And after that, more on healthcare. And then the soapbox will be coming out. We'll see you after the break.
Your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
This is the Great American Work From Home Revolution that's changing the lives of great Americans, like you. It's IncomeRevolution.com. And listen, this is a fantastic way to earn from a few hundred to several thousand a month from your kitchen table, even while you sleep. What are listeners saying about IncomeRevolution.com? After only 9 weeks, Jeff Rush made more than $4,500 from home in his spare time. No pressure, no selling soap. Anyone can do this. Or listener Kevin. With Income Revolution, Kevin made enough to cover his mortgage and even quit his day job. And finally, listener Kirsten. A busy dad who earned nearly $3,500 his first month. Would an extra few thousand change your life? No pressure. Just an opportunity for great Americans like you to earn great money from home. Plus, they're giving one listener $1,000 just for checking them out. Visit IncomeRevolution.com. 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 Results not average. See website for results you can expect.
The concept of having annuities as part of your investment strategy isn't as simple as it sounds. You need to be informed about the options annuities may provide and where they may fit in your broader investment strategy. Do you really understand the role annuities play in your portfolio? RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free consultation to review the annuities you own or may be considering. If you're unsure about benefits, risks, or fees of your fixed, indexed, immediate, or variable annuity, schedule a complimentary double check. Contact an RJL Wealth Management advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
Are you looking for an air show in Atlanta? Paulding County is doing it again this year, partnering with Ragsdale Heating and Air and Plumbing. They're bringing you the Royal Canadian Air Force demonstrations of the CF-18 Hornet. Don't miss that, and you can expect two great days full of excitement, including fighter jet demos, jet cars, the Lucas Oil Air Show and Jump Team, games for the kids, aircraft tours, and more. Plus, stay late on Saturday night and see the fireworks. Get your tickets now and check out all the performers at PaldingAirShow.net.
This is Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. Mike Roy here, keeping me on the straight and narrow. The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet us using the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. And we might respond. We might. We might not. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about healthcare, and I was sort of teasing you with this story. My healthcare is about to expire. Well, I guess not expire, but renew is a better way to say it. And so I had this conversation with my health insurance agent, and I, you know, for those of you who have been listeners of mine for some time now, know that this year has been a challenging year for me medically. And so I had cancer this year, and I'm totally fine. For anybody who's listening, and I'm all good, but I now have a quote unquote pre-existing condition. So all bets are off in terms of me being able to get cheaper insurance. I sort of have no choice but to stick with my current insurance company and take their pay increase without any options. Now, this gets us to Obamacare, and I don't want to get into a whole big political thing because that's just not what we do here on The Week in Review. However, here's what happened. And I think I'm going to try to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, my insurance guy, who I'm sure is not listening, so I can talk trash about him if I want to. But he started telling me that, you know, with the Affordable Care, well, he didn't call it that, with the Obamacare, or with the new regulations, maybe is what he referred to it as, the prices for insurance are going to, could go sky high, is sort of what he said. And so he wanted to lock me into a new rate in this new plan right now for 15 months. And this was before he knew I had a pre-existing condition and couldn't switch insurances anyway. Now, I'm sure he would have gotten if he switched me to this new one, he probably would have gotten a higher commission, or it would have been good for him or whatever, and good for me because it was cheaper. But I said, well, listen, guy, I didn't call him guy, but let's just pretend. I don't want to say his name. So I said, listen, guy, my understanding is that for somebody like me who is self-employed, there should be some more affordable options once the exchange comes into being in October. Is that not true? And he immediately switched gears and was like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that could be true. Yeah, there could be cheaper options. But But before he knew that I knew anything about Obamacare at all, which I know very little for the listeners who have heard me talk about it before, I'm clearly not that informed. I have definitely not read all 2,000 pages of the documentation and regulations that go along with it. But I have read some articles and I am a little bit aware of what it is. And at the very minimum, I know it's called the Affordable Care Act. Therefore, the idea that it's going to cause insurance prices for individuals to go sky high seemed odd to me. And I think he was actually maybe scamming me a little bit. And so the reason I bring it up before we move away from that is because, you know, I think we all have to be our own advocates in life in general. We have to be out networking to find jobs. We can't sit at home, right? We have to ask the right questions when we go to a doctor. We can't assume that they're going to give us the right care if we don't ask the right questions. And I just want to extend that now to insurance, because I think we're all going to have to ask questions about insurance, whether you're a small business, whether you're an individual, whatever it is, ask questions, go do your research on the internet, read whatever you can, and try to understand what options are out there. It is really confusing. I still have not figured it out for myself, and I will keep you guys posted as I move into this decision-making process in October when the exchange becomes available, and to see if there really are better options for somebody like me who's self-employed. So, you know, I would love to get an expert in here to talk about it, but I don't even know if there is an expert right now. It's all so new and there's so much going on that I feel like there are people that have read up on little bits and pieces of it. And as I said last time we talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I really encourage people to try to remove the politics mentally from their minds when they're looking at this. The fact that it's called Obamacare, I know, just sets half of the population off in anger and running around screaming in frustration. And I understand that. I do. But try to put that out of your mind as you read up on what's happening, because we need to all know what's out there and what's happening and how it will affect us as companies and individually. So I just encourage you to do that. On that note, I do have one little other story about Obamacare that I want to bring up before I get on the soapbox. And that is that we've heard a lot about companies cutting back hours and limiting jobs and maybe cutting off benefits for spouses and things like that as it relates to Obamacare. Well, there was a story in the Business Chronicle this week that mentioned a company that's now adding 400 jobs thanks to Obamacare. Of course, it's an insurance company, but nonetheless, jobs are being created. The company is called Calibrium Direct LLC. They're planning to add 400 jobs in the Atlanta area and invest $3 million in meeting the surging demand in their telesales area, their help desk services, for all of this healthcare reform stuff coming up. So it's not bad for everybody. I don't know if we want the insurers to get richer, but that appears to be what's happening. I don't know. Lots to work through, and I'm sure we'll be talking about healthcare reform for a lot of months to come and years probably to come. So I will try not to get mired down in it too much, because it's not really that fun. It's sort of boring, housekeeping-y sort of stuff. All right, on that note, speaking of housekeeping, let's get out the soapbox and talk about housekeeping, because I have become aware that I waste a lot of time every day. I'm sure you do too, so especially you, Mike Roy, so don't be laughing at me.
Because I just look like the kind of guy who wastes time.
Yeah, yeah, oh. Yeah, you do. You do.
Oh.
But I think even the most regimented of us waste a lot of time on email. And the email we waste time on are things that we somehow end up subscribed to that we really don't care about. So I'm not even kidding. I don't know how many of these I have in my email inbox every day from various and sundry companies, retailers, car dealers, God only knows. And I have started a very aggressive campaign to unsubscribe, because I just can't take it anymore. I'm over it. I'm inundated. And here's where the soapbox comes out. Why do companies feel like it's okay, as I am trying to leave you, I'm breaking up with you, I'm unsubscribing to your list, which has now annoyed me, why do they think it's okay to chase me out the door? So I click unsubscribe, and instead of, some of them do it right. You know, some of them you click unsubscribe and you go to a screen that says you have been unsubscribed. Done. Others, you go to a screen that says all kinds of things you have to read and try to understand. You have to re-enter your email address. You have to click a bunch of checkboxes. What is that about? Can you just imagine, Mike Roy, the marketing meeting where they sit around and they go, all right, So somebody wants to unsubscribe. So they're probably feeling a little annoyed with us because maybe we emailed them too much. So what should we do? I know. Let's irritate them some more.
We can't lose anybody, right? Is what they're thinking.
We can't. We must cling to them with all of our might.
We're not desperate at all. We're not insecure at all.
Hello. Hello. Like, if you try to break up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and they start clinging to you and, like, literally physically holding you back from getting in your car and leaving, you would find them even less attractive. It's a bad play. Like, if you're the person being broken up with and you still want this person back, the last thing you should do is be clingy. Right? Why don't retailers and stores and car dealers and whatever get the message?
They call it being persistent.
It's so obnoxious. You know, like if you were shopping in a retail store, imagine you're walking through the mall, Mike Roy, because I know you shop a lot. I can tell you're a shopper. And you step into a store and the clerk comes up to you and says, "May I help you?" And you say, "No, thanks, just looking." And then you turn around to leave. And instead of just allowing you to leave, the clerk chases you out into the mall, grabs onto your shirt tails, and actually is being dragged behind you as you are walking down the mall. That is what this unsubscribe process is like. It is ridiculous. I mean, I just feel that it needs to be reformed. And I stick by my theory all the time, which is that I feel that all CEOs and high-end managers need to experience all aspects, even the leaving of their own products, their own email lists, their own websites, experience it for yourself. And if you feel as the CEO that this is the way to go, okay. But I'm telling you, that can't be. Because if you're choosing to unsubscribe from something, you want to be left alone. Yeah. So anyway, that's the soapbox. I'm sure you can all appreciate where I'm coming from. There are a lot of other things. Oh, here's my favorite. God knows I can't just drop it. This is like, you know, when you're fighting with somebody and you come back in the room and say, "And another thing." You know, so, "And another thing." How about the ones where you unsubscribe and instead of just letting you unsubscribe, they take you to a survey of why you're leaving? Really? I'm leaving because I don't like you anymore. I don't love you. You're not attractive to me anymore.
I hate that because you almost feel compelled to stay with it because you don't, only because you don't want to do the survey.
Oh, exactly. So annoying. All right. Before we get off the air, which we're about to do, I want to just tell you quickly to tune in to a new show on Business Radio X called Growth Matters. It's on Fridays at 10 a.m. at growthmatters.businessradiox.com. And we'll be back next week with more Week in Review. We hope you have a great week and make lots of money.